This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, so the time has gone 12 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Thank you very much to Rishoketswe Malachi for keeping us up to date with what's going on in the news around us. And right now, let's get behind some of those headlines with Makhudu Sefara, the editor of Times Live and the deputy editor of the Sunday Times. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lerato.
Are you another journalist who is an artist?
quite an interesting morning.
It's tough this morning, I tell you. Okay.
I wanted to phone in and just read the intro of the Sunday Times lead this past weekend to your earlier caller who was saying the president-elect never made any promises about cutting cabinet.
I don't think it matters, Ntate, because we read him a statement from 2018. We read him a statement from 2023. We've read him statements from these last few months of campaigning. So I guess if he never heard it or never read it with his eyes, it means it never was said. So what can you do? Some people are intent on believing whatever delusions are in their minds. Okay, let's carry on and focus on the news of the day. Your newspaper reporting that, in fact, there are probably going to be more ministers, not fewer. And, of course, this relates to calls for a smaller cabinet after the president is inaugurated this week. There'll be consultations, of course, within members of the Grand Coalition or the GNU. The DA is talking proportionality is what it's being reported. They say that the cabinet should be composed as the outcome of the elections comes. So 40% should be ANC, 21% should be DA, Ganjalo, Ganjalo. There's also been reports that the IFP believe that there should be a second deputy president, which would mean a special sitting of parliament and I think a constitutional amendment. I'm not sure. But all of this just speaks to the fact that we're probably going to see an even bigger cabinet than a smaller one, despite all the promises.
Yeah, also despite the promises by political parties that what they are interested in is not positions, or to divvy up cabinet to allocate positions to one another, but that it is important to have a framework agreement in terms of which the focus and the preoccupation is on what they call the government of national unity is going to achieve or work toward. But in the hours leading to the election of the president and speaker, deputy speaker, and other officials, we saw that the issue of who takes what then became key. And once there's agreement around that, the parties were able to move forward. Okay. And even in this particular case, in relation to cabinet, I think that that's exactly what's going to happen. That between when the story you referred to was put together and just after the inauguration of the president, day after tomorrow, the president is going to need to say to the nation, this is how the executive is going to be constituted. Yeah. And of course, the Speaker of Parliament has already indicated, following that brief address by the President and the brief discussion in Parliament about, what the various leaders expect on the seventh administration, that, Mr. President, you must move with speed to constitute cabinet so that we as parliament are able to do what we are established to do. So there's pressure to constitute this cabinet. And as you indicate, the DA is quite clear, you know, let's have this representation. But the ANC is not in favor of that. You know, they're
the
saying
proportionality.
Look, yes, look, there's positions that that we've given to members of the DA, the IFP, and other members of the GNU in Parliament, and there's also an agreement in terms of which whoever is appointed to a minister of police, the chairperson of the portfolio committee of that ministry must come from a party that's not holding the ministerial position, which already indicates a you know, a broader sharing of power and putting in place accounting mechanisms for whoever is going to be in the executive. So there must be, you know, late nights and all manner of things and compromises about who gets what between now, in fact, before the end of this week.
Okay, so there's quite a few things going on from what you're saying. And for now, it's just the tidbits that come out of press briefings. The first thing that you're clarifying is, one, President-elect Cyril Ramaphosa has on numerous occasions spoken about the need to cut down the size of his cabinet. This need was also reiterated in this weekend's press briefing by last Wednesday's press briefing by Figile Mbalula, who said it is the ANC's position. Remember, I'm quoting, our position as the ANC was to implement a leaner government and rationalize government. So there is pressure to come up with a smaller government. From what I've read, the DA wants a smaller government. But there are other parties that are also part of the agreement, even Patricia de Lille's Good. And I know that she was part of a cooperative government this last season as the Minister of Public Works and then the Minister of Tourism. But they didn't do particularly well in the election. And is she part of the Grand Coalition? Because apparently she signed an agreement.
Yes, there's quite a number, but I think that the reason the focus is on the DA and the IFP is because, you know, people are looking at what will make the Grand Coalition or the GNU work. Without those two, the ANC becomes vulnerable, or the GNU Grand Coalition becomes unworkable. And so I don't think that there's likely to be major debates about what to allocate to Patricia de Lille or other smaller parties to the agreement. But it will become clearer, of course, when the president makes the announcements. The idea, of course, is to include as many as it is possible, whether as, you know, deputy ministers or full cabinet positions.
Right.
It's not clear at this point, but the idea of including a number is one that's finding warm reception in the ANC, because the ANC is keen at the, you know, a level of managing perceptions.
Yeah.
To make sure that the agreement is not looked at as a DA ANC coalition agreement with others, but rather as a you know, something that that's all encompassing
and inclusive,
you know.
Okay. Yeah. And so I don't want to belabor this, because we will see what comes out in the days to come. But it's been reported that the DA, in their 9-point agreement for a GNU, are very clear that there's two or three things that can't be compromised. One, it's crime. And so they believe that a Ministry of Police should devolve powers, should have less powers there at the executive level, more powers at provincial level. energy also to be devolved, and they want a finance minister who's a non-politician, who actually comes from business. Apparently those have been very, very tricky issues. Do you think the president will relent?
It's going to be very difficult. To start with the last point you make about the finance portfolio. So other people, the ANC have indicated that, you know, the market had accepted the current finance minister, and there have not been issues of concern around his performance and capability, or whether or not, you know, he is of the right politics, and in fact the ANC was reliant on him to kind of manage perceptions and the markets in the period leading to the elections. And so quite a number of people within the ANC are saying that look, we are going to insist on making sure that our finance minister is returned, in the same way that they are going to insist that the minister of international cooperation is returned. To divert, you know that she hasn't made the list in terms of the list. But there's a constitutional provision that allows the president to appoint two additional people, and those should include her.
Yeah.
But to move on to the next issue you raised about the police, the DA has raised that quite a number of times, and perhaps it's something that deals with their frustration as a provincial government in the Western Cape, where they've said that they are not able to do certain things in order to manage crime there, because they are dependent on the attitude of the national minister. Yeah. And so with the ANC coming under 50% for the first time since 1994, this then becomes an opportune moment for them to put that demand on the table in order to help them do what they've always wanted to do in that province.
Yeah.
But I think that debate is going to turn on the specificities of the request in relation to the police, because, you know, the police functions include quite a number of things, like crime intelligence, which falls under police. So would intelligence gathering, for example, even if they say that it's to be able to know what the moves and plans of the crime lords of the people in the Western Cape, you know, is that something that particularly the ANC would want to see devolved down to provinces, or is it going to lead to, you know, small pockets of, you know, quasi-independent intelligence operations that they are unable to manage at the national level? I mean, it becomes very complex. And sometimes, you know, if you pay attention to that space of crime intelligence operations in relation to the capability of the state security, some people will tell you at different points in our history, crime intelligence was carrying the country's intelligence capability, you know, better than state security. And so therefore, you know, if you give that away to other parties, what are you saying at the political level in terms of, you know, many other things? So that is likely to become a very difficult conversation between the two of them. So we will see how it gets resolved.
Staying with the elections pre-inauguration is the MK situation, and there was a long presser yesterday with President Jacob Zuma, and insinuations that the process of the 29th of May elections wasn't free and fair, allegations of vote rigging, but not any evidence to back that up, not even evidence from the cybersecurity analysts who they claim to have collected this data, which then should readily be available for the IEC. So there's a lot going on here. And there's just a sense that this is a mirage. This is a smokescreen. And I love the headline, which says MK fumbled coalition talks, especially for the KZN government. So in terms of strategy, what's happened with the MK party? They're alleging vote rigging. Yet in KZN, they wanted to be part of some kind of an alliance or coalition agreement, which then makes me think, so do they think the outcome in KZN was legit, but the outcome for the national elections was not? What is happening there?
Yeah, I think that the outcome of the election caught the party unprepared. And perhaps the request for recounts and all manner of things are just meant to allow it a bit of time to regroup and reposition itself to be able to do what it wants to do. In KwaZulu-Natal, to which you refer, for example, I mean, they are the biggest party by far at 45 with the next at 18. And so if they really wanted to have conversations with people and form a coalition government, they needed to move with speed. But as we've heard from the IFP, they didn't show up at the meeting at which coalition arrangements were going to be made. And so the IFP just lost confidence in this and moved on. And perhaps it was also politically convenient for the IFP to do so, because of the national picture, but there's no gainsaying the fact that the MK party was itself disorganized. In KZN, for example, I mean the ANC IFP train had about 40 seats, and the other 39, and the NFP needed to choose between the two, and the NFP says, you know, it decided on the ANC, IFP, etc. And even there, there's possibilities of other things that influence that decision.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's disorganization of the MK party in KwaZulu-Natal that made it to lose an opportunity to form a government. They can't blame it on somebody else.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
All right. So the president's inauguration expected for Wednesday, and the minister in the presidency has said that it's all systems go, and lots of heads of state and representatives of foreign governments will be descending on South Africa. So we're expecting it to be a moment of fanfare, but with just a few days to that inauguration, after he was just elected president in parliament, what sort of things going to preparing for an inauguration?
Yeah, I think that quite a number of activities and stuff leading to the day will be handled by the minister and the presidency, with the president spending the days between now and Wednesday doing ANC work, preparation. By ANC work, I mean negotiations for the cabinet stuff that we spoke about much earlier. But many of us as citizens, of course, will be hoping that, it's not just this that's preoccupying their attention, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Sometimes, given the inordinate focus on who's getting what and, you know, what agreement has been reached, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
An impression is created that once an agreement is reached, yay, progress is made. And meanwhile, if you look at what's happening in the country, for the majority of people, it's not about those agreements. It is about, how much time is going to be allocated and what is going to be done immediately to resolve issues that affect people on the ground, you know, the water issues that are affecting people of Gauteng now. they've been affecting people of Limpopo and of eThekwini, the electricity issues, unemployment, the economy has been on its knees. The inbox for the incoming president is overflowing with issues that are urgent. And so the attention ought to be skewed in that direction.
Okay, and just obviously the media has been reporting that for, especially for people who live in and around the Tshwane area, they should just be aware of road closures in the city, especially around the union buildings from the morning till about lunchtime. We should just look out for briefings from the National Joint Committee for the Justice and Security Cluster. And the National Defence Force will also be active on the day, gun salutes, etc., etc., on the day. So a lot of fanfare leading officially to the establishment of this new government and presidents and executive as well. And then finally, the South African Navy was meant to have embarked on a trip to Russia, but dead in the water, I think is what people would say. Didn't get anywhere. What happened there?
Yeah, you know, problems affecting the Navy are many. So essentially this, the South African Navy was invited to go participate in the, you know, some activities in St. Petersburg in Russia. But the naval ship it's relying on has had its engine replaced. But the leadership in the country saying, look, this ship, we are not sure it will make the distance, and especially given the torturous path it's supposed to take to get to St. Petersburg, which includes going through the Red Sea, we don't think that it will make the distance. And there are tests here locally and around Mozambique that still needed to be done, and those have not been done. And you know, as a consequence, they've decided no, you know, it's not in a shape where they would be able to send South Africans on that ship across the seas to Russia, because if problems are encountered midway through the distance, it will take quite a while to get to them to provide the kind of assistance that might be required. And so they'd rather not risk it and just put in their apologies. Sure. And of course, I mean, that has its own politics, because you remember that Russia was here for the military exercises on our East Coast.
Yes.
Was it late last year or
Oh, Makuru, thank you so much for coming through. I mean, the question I want to ask is the Navy, is the Army, can it defend South Africa if ever anything happened? But I think everything you've just told us is self-explanatory. What a pity. Okay, but thank you for your time. He's the editor of Times Live, the deputy editor of the Sunday Times, a journalist, not an artist.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.